Hey everybody, Channel 9. Today I am sitting with Mike LaManna and Anushka Perkins, and I'm going to give you a wonderful example of necessity is the mother of invention. You guys have, you actually created, and you sort of came on board a little bit afterwards, the Mouse Project. That's a sort of a working title. Talk to me, what's the Mouse Project?
The Mouse Project started with a phone call from my mother. Mm-hmm. We talk every Sunday, and she is a special ed teacher. And she made an observation in her class over the last few years about children with dexterity or control issues having trouble controlling the mouse. And she knew I worked at Microsoft and asked if there was anything available.
So what specifically was the problem? Were they not grasping the concept of relating the mouse to the pointer? Or were their fingers not able to, you know, use the hardware?
I would say the problem is their hand on the mouse would move.
Okay.
So what would happen is they needed something to control their index finger.
Okay.
So they would make correct clicks and have control over the whole mouse. So
okay.
Given their physical or mental limitations, it was just leading to lots of frustration around the hand not being properly placed on the mouse.
I got you. So your mom called you, said, hey, you know, my son's a smartie. He works at Microsoft and said, what can you do, basically?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She asked if there's anything available or anyone who could help.
And currently, there is not anything available. What's your role here at Microsoft when you're not creating mice for special needs children?
I work on the PC3 team, which is part of Windows, and my title is User Experience Designer.
Okay.
So I'm primarily responsible for interaction design or software.
Software. So you are not a hardware builder. You're not a hardware engineer.
Nope.
No, but you thought you'd give it a stab. And this is what you've come up with. Let's start. How long ago was this?
Started 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through the process a little bit. How did it begin? What was your sort of storyboard?
Okay. So these are some of the very first prototypes. This is part of an old toy that one of my boys received. I think it's a Nerf toy. So I just tried a thimble approach.
And the goal here is to sort of give your index finger a home so it's not, if they're shaking or they just don't have that sort of dexterity?
Correct. Yeah, it was... what my mother also asked for was, she called it a trap. So think
okay.
of trap in parentheses, right? Okay, it's just not really a trap. But something that if the index finger is on the mouse, your index finger is now going to be in the right spot to make correct clicks and also give you a little more control overall.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the thimble concept. We tried something just, it was very gutter-like, just to rest your hand.
Yeah, sort of like a riverbed there.
Yeah, and this one was a visit to Home Depot. It's a little piece of copper tubing.
Okay, very creative. I'm going to interrupt you really quick and introduce Anushka Perkins. Now, Anushka, you work in our accessibility department, is that correct?
That's right. In Trustworthy Computing, we have an accessibility group, and we're a resource for product groups around the company to learn about accessibility.
Now, is this a problem with the mice that you'd actually heard of before? Is this something you'd been working on, or was this sort of a whole new land that you were going to now pioneer?
I had not heard about this one specific problem of the index finger. We do have... relationships with assistive technology coordinators in the school districts, and they do have a problem finding out what exactly is going to help each particular kid in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, Mike's mom was an example of what special ed teachers are facing around the country, that they see something happening in their school and they don't
sure.
have a solution for it.
Great. It's like the perfect sounding board to have you. Okay, so let's move on. So you tried a few, and they each had their, you know, particular problems and wasn't perfectly working?
Correct. Yeah, I tried a few. This was me still being a volunteer, working in my garage on the weekends with clay, going
wow.
to the hardware store. And I made about 5 or 6 concepts after people here at Microsoft that I met with gave me ideas, as
okay.
well as what my mother I had.
And did you workshop them? Did you focus group them on with the children? Or like, what made you realize they weren't working?
I had someone here on the team help me write a survey.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the mice in a box. I mailed the survey back to my mother and her colleague in North Tonawanda, New York.
Okay.
Is where, so it's back east.
New York! That's where I'm from.
Same here. Same here. And so they gave them to the children to use for a while.
Amazing.
And then they wrote notes. Just they filled out the survey. The teacher did.
Yeah. All volunteer. Everyone just donating their time and their energy.
Yes. And then they sent it back to me, and I processed those notes. And I think at that point I met Anushka and some other colleagues here at Microsoft who helped and went on to the second round.
Okay. And how did that happen? Did you go to Anushka knowing that she, you know, is someone in accessibility, or did you sort of hear about it?
Mike came to me and...
The email alias, enable.com, I think.
Okay. So one of our accessibility aliases probably. he found out that I work on user experience for people with disabilities. So right. I have an interest in hardware and software and how that's used. And so we met, and he told me what he was doing and why. And we thought we could take this in, and do a small usability study and come up with something.
It's amazing. It's honestly one of the things that I love most about Microsoft is if you are working on something, there is someone else in the company who is out there and can probably help you with it. All right, so what's round two?
Round two were mice like this. They were still adult-sized mice. They were wireless. This one looked at a loop concept again and had something for your fingers to go in just to have more control. These, I think, were some of the earlier ones.
Okay.
The reason they're tied together is I would also take the mice apart and disable certain features. So this idea was this only gives the person movement, and this one only gives them a click.
So sort of like two hands, one mouse.
Yeah, so trying to separate the controls. This is a component that fell off one of the concepts that was on a mouse like this, and it's just another interpretation of this idea. And this idea, and that's actually another one of my kids' toys that they weren't playing.
I love it. This is all sort of like
all found objects.
All found objects. You've got a ring here. I was thinking about a glove. The glove didn't work?
No, the glove, I tried a children's glove, and the idea was there's a little piece of Velcro, and I thought, well, maybe you would put on this glove, and then there'd be a piece of Velcro, and it'd kind of keep it all together. So this was a glove idea. This I considered kind of a sandal-like idea, like a sandal strap, a thimble, a gutter, a tube.
Okay, so you build stuff at home. You have a garage where you're making toys and a wood shop. There's no way that you could... Okay,
Yeah,
so
my
you're a bit of a builder.
They do. Yes.
Okay, great. So where do we stand now? Which one of these is the big winner?
So the winner was... the loop or ring concept.
Okay.
So it's represented here. This is a children's party ring, I think for a girl's party. And that's the ring. And what I did is I went to the party store and I bought these rings, which come in a pack like this. And that's what it looks like. So if you cut off the decoration.
Or leave it on.
I thought that was a great idea. We could customize it. And I think boys could have G.I. Joe power rings. And girls want the princess rings.
Exactly. You got to bedazzle your mouse.
Yes. So that part comes off. This is a hard plastic ring. This is soft plastic. And I had a pom-pom decoration. But you cut it, flip it.
Yeah.
You just rough it up with sandpaper and then glue it. And that's it. And that solved the problem. It was anything ring or loop like that's elastic.
Right. This was another type of loop concept. So this worked pretty well, too, with the kids when we did the usability study. So it's like with a lot of things with accessibility, it's not just one thing is going to help all the kids. And so what we found is that these loop or rings help most of the kids. And what we encourage teachers to do, or parents, is to try maybe a different style and see what works with their kids.
So then is the goal here now to get sort of like you have the prototype to get this manufactured, you know, widely? Or is this a stepping stone for teachers to say, hey, do this on your own? What's the next step?
The next step is that it's a do-it-yourself project for teachers right now. We're trying to get the word out that this can help some kids. And also, we think it could help even people in who are seniors and maybe aren't used to using the mouse, or maybe somebody who's an adult just with dexterity issues for comfort, wanting to keep their finger in the right space. So we want to, with the articles and that have come out and on our MSDN site, put out information there about how you could do this and what the concept is.
I love it. I mean, I have, I know my grandmother has a little bit of a hard time because her hands shake a little bit, you know, if she had some sort of anchor like this. Sorry, I didn't think of it, Grandma. All right, well, Anushka, I know you've done a lot of research for this project in terms of accessibility and things like that. Give me a little background there.
Yeah, so what we did when we had a few of the ideas settled, we wanted to take it in front of some real kids and have them try it out. So we worked with the Bellevue School District to set up some time with about 8 kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, ages from about 6 to 9, and they were in the special ed program at the school district. And we took a couple of the mice ideas in there, and using a mouse tracking software that they use anyway to learn how to use the mouse, we had them using our prototypes, and we were observing them and then getting the
really feedback. Workshopping them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really interesting to see how they would approach some of the mice. Some of them, they were maybe using the mouse. this seemed to be a barrier for them, and so they were actually trying to not touch it and still click.
Oh, okay.
They just weren't really comfortable using that. And other ones, like this round half ring, mm-hmm. they would actually pick it up kind of by the horns here, and then they were moving it around in the air, or they had the orientation wrong, mm-hmm. and so then we knew that wasn't going to be a good solution. So that was really interesting to see the kids actually using them.
And is that the only school district that you sort of had hands-on work with, or you said you sent them back to New York as well?
Yeah, this North Tonawanda School District.
Yes.
We worked remotely. So that was my packaging stuff up and
right.
sending it by mail to them, and then send it back to me. We worked with the Bellevue School District. That's where we could go in and be there.
And you got to see this firsthand.
Yeah, we did. And I do usability studies and customer research and accessibility, too. So this was a unique chance to see special ed kids using it. And some of the techniques that we use to gather feedback from users aren't really the best way to get user feedback from this user group.
Like, right.
So that, because you can't actually talk. In some cases, they weren't very verbally communicative, mm-hmm. so we had to use just observing how effective they were with the mouse or talking with the teacher to see, well, compared to how this child usually does with the computer, how does this rank in your opinion?
Very cool. You guys have definitely done your homework. And what about you? What's your next plans?
The next is to promote the idea, publicize it as much as possible. So last week was when the MSW article went out. To internal
That's our internal Microsoft newsletter.
Right, and I've received a lot of really wonderful replies from people I've never met saying thank you and then going on to tell a story about someone they know who will benefit, they'll try it. This week an article went out that was the first public-facing article, mm-hmm. techflash.com.
Nice.
So again, it's just great. It's being picked up and people
Amazing.
Are telling the story, so that's all we can really
you
do
really,
now.
Apparently you've hit like a niche that was really in need of more further exploration. Do you have a website or somewhere where people can, you know, comment on it?
Yes, we do. On the MSDN site, it's msdn.microsoft.com/accessibility, and that's our Accessibility Dev Center. We have a blog up there and articles, and we'll put a link to this interview that we're doing now.
Absolutely.
And there's a form up there so people can comment and put in feedback. And what I'm hoping is that this sparks some ideas for other problems that
that's
people are having, and that just kind of take the initiative, and that there are opportunities to innovate here and find some solutions that can help people.
Absolutely. You may have launched yourself an entirely new career. People are going to start writing you, Mike, I need this.
I'm not sure.
Well, I love it. I think you guys are doing a great thing. I hope it takes off. I hope everyone with this problem now has a solution. And you can hit that website for further information. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.